Yeah, so for those that who don't know me, my name is Zach Hunter. I am married to the lovely Emma Hunter. Yeah, I got saved when I was 10 years old at a Christian rally. We moved to the Sunshine Coast 2 years ago. And I just really felt to share actually why we moved. The reason we moved was because we felt God was one calling us here, because we felt that there was a stirring up here for God, and God wanted to shift things on the Sunshine Coast and move people's hearts in an area that hadn't moved for generations. And then I also wanted to thank Glenn and Lynn for giving me this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. And also just pray. And just honor God. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you for everything you've done for us. We lift your name high. We glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, firstly, I just wanted to actually point us to scripture. We're going to Numbers 21, 4 to 9. Now, this story actually starts with a previous story where the Israelites have actually been just freed from Egypt. They're coming out of Egypt. They've just come from the Red Sea, where Moses parted the waters. And then we pick up in this scripture. Then where it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hur to the way of the Red Sea to go through the land of Edom. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God, against Moses. Why have you brought us here? Out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, there is no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people. Many of the Israelites died. Therefore the people came back to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten and looks to it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, and if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at this bronze serpent, he lived. If you want a title for this message, it is From the Serpent to the Cross. As we just read that little bit of passage, it actually encapsulates a lot more than just one little story. It actually encapsulates the journey from the beginning all the way to the cross. It started with serpents. It started with the tree. It started with the cross. It started with the curse. And it ended with healing and the cross. So, I wanted to look into a few symbols of different things within this story. First off is actually venom, or the bite of the snake, which is actually a symbol of sin entering our lives. As they, you know, you see that the people got bitten, of course. Then I also wanted to look up what venom actually does to our bodies. When we're actually bitten by a snake, the venom binds to our receptors and actually disturbs the way our body is meant to operate through different means, different ways. Blocks nerves, damages cells, interferes with our blood circulation, causes clots, ultimately leading to us being paralyzed and then dead. Which is exactly what sin does in our lives. Originally, we were created to live in community and love with God. Yes. We were originally walking with Christ, with God in the garden, communing with him, walking with him, feeding with him, and sin entering in stripped that away. Yes. And then you see the Israelites, what they do is in this moment of panic, in this moment of question, they come back to God. They come back to Moses and they say, Moses, what do we do? And God gives him very simple instruction, which is make a serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up, which is a kind of a funny instruction. Take the thing that bit you, put it on a pole, and lift it up. I mean, for me, I don't fully get that. God has his ways. But it's interesting because Moses makes it out of bronze. And the thing with bronze in Scripture actually symbolizes divine judgment, strength, endurance, purification. And this was actually a process that was actually happening to the Israelites at that moment. The Israelites just got saved. They weren't like just getting saved. They got saved out of Egypt. And this moment was actually a moment of purification, of God strengthening them and lifting them up to trust him, to rely on him. And this is then reflected back again later in Scripture in John. John 3, we're just going to go to John 3, 13. Nice. So this is actually Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is questioning with Jesus, like, how do I inherit the kingdom? He's not asking how do I get saved. He's not asking, oh, like, how do I become closer with you? He's asking, actually, how do I inherit the kingdom? And Jesus before this says, you have to be born again of the Spirit and not just flesh. And he says, how? How do I do that? And Jesus answers with this. No one has ascended to heaven but he who have come down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's what we just read about, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then continues to say this famous scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, to answer the question I kind of said before about why would God use a serpent on a pole to then be the symbol of healing and them coming back to life. It's actually interesting that anti-venom is actually made from venom. The same way that Jesus became sin, who knew no sin, so then we could be healed from sin. The same way that anti-venom is made. Anti-venom is actually made, which is really interesting, I think. It's made from actually injecting venom into an animal's body that can actually neutralize it. And then over time, from neutralizing that venom, they use the blood from that animal to then create anti-venom. The same way that the blood is used to heal for us. There's a reason that we always point to the blood in Scripture with communion. It's the blood that brings forgiveness. It's the blood that is the anti-venom to sin. And so then we also see that also reflected in the bronze serpent. Jesus was lifted up just like the bronze serpent was lifted up. Jesus was on a cross. It was on a pole. But the same symbol was judgment and purification of sin. And so I just wanted to even just reiterate this in Scripture, where in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, for our sake he was made to be sin, for who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. And the meaning to be righteous, for anybody that, you know, has ever kind of looked at that word, what does that mean? What does it mean to be righteous? It's simply being right with God. It is simply being having our debts paid. He paid for our debts. He ransomed us. How do we become right with God? Well, it's shown in Numbers that we just read. It says, whoever was bitten looked upon the serpent. It's looking upon Christ. for all of our needs, for all of our baggage, for everything that we've gone through, and believing that Christ would be healed, will heal us. And I kind of didn't know how I was going to land this, to be honest. I was still praying about it. I'm like, Lord, where are we going with this? And the thing that I just felt that God would kept pressing upon my heart was the fact that you can be saved, you can be unsaved. This is still a situation for both. If we are saved, we have moments where we're discouraged, where we lose our focus, where we're complaining, Lord, why am I here? Why have you taken me over here? Why am I in Sunshine Coast? I liked Melbourne, even though I don't like the weather. And I think there's a thing of where God's saying in this scripture, refocus. And I was reminded of Luke 31. And this is before Christ actually goes to the cross. This is before he goes to the cross, and this is Simon Peter that he's talking to. And he says to Simon, 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 behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Yes. But I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And once again, turn again, strengthen your brothers. Yes. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean we're not going to face strife, doesn't mean we're not going to face suffering, doesn't mean that we are just excluded out of everything that bad that happens in the world. We are just as much as the target as anyone. And Jesus in this scripture is saying, I'm praying for you that you might have faith, that you will turn back to me and focus on me, focus on the cross, focus on the blood, focus on what healed you from the beginning. And I just wanted to remind us of that, that I don't know where everyone's at, but I know that life isn't easy. I know that there is plenty of suffering in the world, but hold fast, yes. Focus on him, yeah. Lift him up. And through that, there is healing. Through that, there is life. I also just wanted to actually share my testimony just quickly on that. Like I told you, I was saved when I was 10. But even though I was saved when I was 10, when I was teenage years, I suffered depression, anxiety, and I was suicidal. And I came to a point in my life where I personally didn't really have much identity. I didn't know why I was alive. I was like, Lord, why am I alive? I was Christian. I was saved. Yeah. I got saved at 10. But didn't exclude me from being suffering through that stuff. And it was constantly this question of why am I alive? Why am I alive? And there was multiple moments in my life where I was like, Lord, can you just take my life? Like, I wouldn't mind just going to heaven, you know, we can party, it'll be great. And it was constantly God reminded me that the reason I was on earth was because I was loved. It had nothing to do with my call, had nothing to do with what I can do for him. It was simply because I was loved. And there was multiple times in my life where I was ready to leave earth, and God kept saying, I have placed you here because I love you. And I don't know, I felt to share that for everyone here, that you are loved. And you might be questioning, why am I on earth? And it doesn't have to be a crazy answer. It can be simply that it's because you are loved and God loves you. And so, yeah.